Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here with y'all on this rainy day. So I'd like to share with you today a story of occupational injustice among workers in San Francisco's Chinatown. And in doing so, I'm going to introduce you to a project that a number of us in the room were involved in, the Chinatown Restaurant Workers Health and Safety Project. I'm going to share with you key findings from one piece of the project, from a worker survey, and discuss some of our ongoing efforts to translate findings of this CBPR study into change. Before I begin, I assure you I have no special interests that are had anything to do with my slides. By the end of this presentation, I hope that you can, you'll be able to describe at least three issues of occupational injustice facing Chinatown restaurant workers, identify at least one environmental and one psychosocial hazard facing restaurant workers, and also talk about one strategy for promoting occupational justice. And I have a feeling that most of you in the room could do that before the presentation. Okay. So just to give you a little background, as most of you probably already know, restaurants are a major employer of immigrants throughout the nation. And restaurant, as much research shows, they have a number of issues in terms of concerns over physical and psychosocial hazards, illnesses and injuries that are incurred by workers, and wage theft and other occupational injustices. And Chinese are among the largest and fastest growing immigrant groups in the U.S. And despite the fact that they really constitute a critical mass of restaurant workers, there are very few studies looking at what's going on with them in restaurant environments. I don't know how many of you are familiar with San Francisco, but it's one of the most affluent cities in the United States. And Chinatown is an area of about six blocks that is home to about 5,000 people. 74% of them are immigrants, and there's approximately, it's always changing, but approximately 100 restaurants that employ about 2,000 people in the city, and the majority of the restaurants employ 10 to 50 workers. So the project aims of this larger CBPR study was to establish an effective community use university health department partnership, conduct an ecologic investigation of Chinatown restaurant workers, which included both looking at individual level worker experiences and characteristics and also what was going on in the restaurant. And then of course, because it's CBPR, we really want to put our money where our mouth is and do something about what we're finding. So we're going to talk about that. Our partners at the community level included the Chinese Progressive Association and a worker committee that was put together for the project and is still working together. At the university, we had the University of California, Berkeley, and the Labor Occupational Health Program, as well as University of California, San Francisco, and the Health Department in San Francisco. And as you can see from this schema here, we had lots of committees and advisory boards, lots of meetings. So like Ronnie's introduction, we were guided by a socio-ecologic perspective in trying to really look at various factors and not just look at the individual workers. Our survey was co-developed by all the partners, including workers. It was a standardized instrument based on other investigations of other worker groups. And really involved the community partners and also the workers in generating questions and helping us check in on questions that were, just ridiculous. We recruited via community organizations, with the exception of workplaces, and eligibility requirements required that their workers had to be adults of 18 years or older and either currently working in a Chinatown restaurant or working during the past 24 months prior to the survey. We had 17 trained interviewers that conducted the survey in Cantonese, Mandarin, and Toishanese, and 433 workers participated. So from this slide, I just wanted to emphasize that the workers were part of this process from the very beginning through data interpretation and now into action. I don't have time to talk about that. Pam Tao Lee is presenting tomorrow in the session at 8:30 in the morning, and she's going to focus on this aspect of the study, and it's going to be fabulous. That's her in the red shirt. Who were our workers? Well, they were mostly female, middle-aged, married, almost all born in China. Almost half of them were United States citizens, and they had been living on average 8 years in the U.S. and had half of them had high school or higher education. Very few of them spoke English, and much of them were living at poverty. And this is reflected in where they're living. A third of them were living in single residence occupancy hotels, which on average are about 80 square feet of living space, if you can imagine. And the majority of households had one child, and almost half were supporting family members outside the household. It was about half and half in terms of looking at back in the house and front of the house positions. The cooks were largely male, and everyone else was largely female, with a few exceptions. This sounds a little crazy, but people were both overworked and underemployed. Almost half were working more than 40 hours a week. Half of these were working over 60 hours a week, and a quarter were working 10 to 12 hour days. However, we had another portion of the workers, largely female, largely working in positions like dim sum serving, that weren't able to get a full time pay. So they were working less than 30 hours a week, which has lots of implications for their finances and life quality. We see that there were many different issues in terms of breaks, despite the fact that California's labor laws require workers working more than 5 hours a day to get a 30-minute lunch break. We find that 43% were never given their lunch, and 23% only sometimes got a lunch. 40% got no breaks at all, and almost half were interrupted during their breaks. And a good portion were also often requiring shortening their breaks to finish work, and almost nobody was in control of when they took their breaks. We also see among our participants that there are a number of violations. San Francisco has a whole host of really great regulations and protections around wages and health care. Unfortunately, we see that half of our population was being paid under the San Francisco minimum wage, which at the time of the survey in 2008 was $9.36. Our mean wage was over a dollar under an hour, and very few people were making a living wage, which is a $12.50 an hour for a household of one person. 50% of the people, of those who worked overtime, didn't receive any pay, and that was 21% of the total sample. And a quarter were paid late or owed back wages, and the vast majority were really not sure what happened to their tips. So we also see that there's a lack of health care benefits and time off. Despite the existence of Healthy San Francisco, which is a sliding scale citywide insurance aimed at this very population, over that half of the workers didn't have any health insurance. And despite another regulation requiring that any employer that has more than 20 workers has to provide health benefits to their workers, we saw that very few workers had employer-provided health insurance. Another really great ordinance, the San Francisco Paid Sick Leave Ordinance, which requires employers to actually give paid sick leave to their workers, was largely disregarded. And 81% did not get any paid vacation, which really stinks. We also saw, in terms of looking at the conditions in which the workers are working in, a number of hazards. Slippery floors, inadequate lighting, really smoky environments, and blocked or locked exits, and preventative measures that are advocated to kind of make these environments safer weren't really present, only present in about half. Warning signs and anti-skid mats were only reported to be present by just over half of the workers. And we see, although I'm not talking about it today, the restaurant observations that were conducted by the health department as part of the food safety inspections, which you can Google and find a report of on the San Francisco Department of Public Health, largely corroborated the self-report from the workers. And 64% had never received any safety training. Similarly, we see the psychosocial environment in which our restaurant workers were working was also stressful and, in some cases, abusive. The majority felt constantly pressured by their workload, physically demanded by their job, and many felt that they were not respected by their employer, and even a greater percentage felt that they weren't respected by their coworkers, and half felt that they were treated unfairly. And many of these workers reported feeling distressed by these conditions. Almost half had been yelled at work, mostly by a supervisor, and a small percentage had witnessed violence at work, been hit at work, or inappropriately touched. Although we have not, I'm just in the process of doing an analysis looking at the relationship between working conditions and health outcomes, I would say overall, as you can imagine, our workers were in fairly poor health. In the self-reported general health, 18% reported themselves to be of fair or poor health, and this compares to approximately 10% of the U.S. population or 7% of Asian Americans nationally, so we're higher. We had high rates of injuries, and a large proportion had work-related pain during the previous 4 weeks, and many of these workers also felt that the pain interfered with their work. A quarter of our population scored as depressed on the CESD, and many had other symptoms of anxiety. So, we see that overall the bill for worker health in Chinatown restaurants includes many injustices, and pardon the line of puns here, but these likely add up to poor health for Chinatown workers. So how do we order up improvements for workers? And that involves, here as you can see, a menu for change that includes many different sorts of interventions. The first of these interventions for change included widespread dissemination of our study findings. This report, Check Please, Health and Working Conditions in San Francisco's Chinatown Restaurants, was drafted with the community partner CPA taking the lead, incorporating reports that the researchers had put out, one summarizing survey findings and another summarizing the observed working conditions. In this past September, CPA organized a launch of the report, which received a lot of interest on the part of city government providers, workers, and employers. Members of the Board of Supervisors, the city's government, and partners spoke, and key results and recommendations for change were presented by the workers themselves. If you'd like to see the buzz that this launch generated, just Google Chinatown restaurant workers, and you'll see pages and pages of press, and you can download the report in Chinese, Spanish, and English. So as part of this report and our larger strategy for advocating for change, CPA, in collaboration with community members, community leaders, other stakeholders, including business owners, has come up with a number of key recommendations for change. These include convening stakeholder roundtables on healthy jobs and healthy communities, strengthening government enforcement of labor and health and safety laws, significantly increasing investments in healthy economic development and responsible employment practices in Chinatown, because we see that there are a number of employers that really are doing the right thing, and it's really hard for them to succeed when other people are undercutting them. And to address the high rates of unemployment and immigrant workers and others needing employment. And unemployment is about 30% in Chinatown. Activities for change that are going on are that CPA has launched a low-wage worker bill of rights with its allies, 9 other organizations in Chinatown, I mean San Francisco at large, and the campaign is currently underway. 2 supervisors who attended the launch have introduced a wage theft ordinance. And the San Francisco Department of Public Health is doing a lot of things to try to improve enforcement and also collaboration between all of the various stakeholders that are in charge of making sure that the working conditions, things like workers' comp, are actually being followed. University partners we're supporting at this stage, but largely it's the health department and community partners that are taking the lead. As you see here, I just wanted to show you that we have a ton of workers involved in these efforts, doing everything from holding worker teas to actually staging many interventions in the restaurants where there are owed many back wages to workers, and also conducting debrief visits of study results with employers, both allies and employers that need to learn. So after this presentation of many, many problems, of course, and knowing that these problems that I just shared are not unique to Chinatown, nor are they to restaurant workers, and I think we'll see other presentations that will enforce this, I would say, just to leave on a hopeful note, that change is possible. We've seen a lot of change so far, and there's much to come. And I'd just like to leave you with a few words from one of our worker committee leaders that's pretty inspirational. When I first got involved in this survey project, I thought it was impossible to change anything in Chinatown. But now that we have done so much work in the community and helped other workers recover wages, I see that change is possible. We can improve things. We must. So thank you very much. And of course, thanks to our funders, NIOSH, the California Endowment and the Occupational Health Safety Internship Program, many partners, and lastly, but most importantly, to our participants and Chinatown restaurant workers. Thanks. Definitely not part of the community. I live in Oakland across the Bay. And I just want to say that the PI of the study is here, Mary Minkler, sitting over there, probably now red in the face. So I would just say that the way this whole thing started out, there's Pam Tao Lee, who's wearing the red shirt, who's presenting tomorrow at Labor Occupational Health Program that's at UC Berkeley, was one of the founding members of CPA 35 years ago and also was a resident of Chinatown. Her family's from Chinatown. So she has strong ties with the community organization. So this came about because Pam knows Mary and we all know each other. So CPA was interested in actually getting some numbers to document what they know and see in their community. And so they were willing to engage with research with us, and they really did in a real way. And it took a while, but we're making change now. Did I answer your question?
And you were able to get trust very easily because of those inroads?
Yeah, we had a lot, we met very often, and there was a lot of attention to process. We had an ongoing evaluation going on by a student, a doctoral student at UC Berkeley, and yeah, there was, of course, like all partnerships, moments where people feel overwhelmed by things like IRB, especially community partners, and are not really seeing the purpose of a number of things, but I think all in all, everyone's very happy with the outcomes, research and ongoing actions.